Our Bible text today is Romans 5:1. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On occasions when my wife and I have returned to our homeland, we have been kindly granted the use of an apartment. But it's not just any apartment. It is right on the edge of the Atlantic Ocean. And we are able to look out in all weathers upon the waves and the foam of the sea dashing upon the rocks. And it is something that I have witnessed for a lot of years. And every time we see that sight, it is ever the same. The waves roll out and they roll back. They splash, they spray on the blackened rocks after the surge of those waves. And then out it goes and back again. Now in storms and in various seasons of the year, that water actually sprays right up against the windows of those apartments. And those buildings suffer the salt water of the Atlantic Ocean. Now the Bible tells us that the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now that is absolutely true. And as you scan your mind around this world today, you will know that we live in a world that is not at rest. It is a world of conflict. It is a world of war. It is a world of refugees. It's a world of pain and suffering. And not only on battlefields and in places of deprivation, but even in the most affluent and richest homes, there is no peace. The suicide rate, people that hit the brick wall of despair, that can find no peace, that is upon our land. And the religions of the world, they offer a false peace because they attempt to lead troubled hearts to find peace with God through a system of works. How can there be peace in this world when there is death, disease, decay, and of course, due to sin, the effects of the fall, the curse that is upon the very earth? And whether you are traveling toward death at a snail's pace, or as a rushing train, the end is the same. You face an eternity where there is no peace. Then all men are called to stand before God and the judge of all the earth, who shall do right. And of course, it is a divine appointment. We shall all be there. And the law is written on your heart. And that law, with its 10 fingers, points at you saying, guilty, guilty, guilty. And so, on what basis can the Apostle Paul say that men may find peace with God? And if you look at our text, you will see that that is the very central theme of this text. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And you're of a Christian today, you have that peace. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, the Bible also speaks about the peace that passes all understanding. Now, some people think it just goes way over your head. But it means that it is so deep, you can't explain it. It is so high, you can never get over it. It is so wide, you can never get around it. This is the extent of the peace of God that is the portion of every blood washed and redeemed sinner. And so today I want to simply take this text and I want you to think upon the wonder of the peace that comes to the Christian's heart as you walk with God and serve Him. Now there are four things here and I want to just outline them. Firstly, there's the pronouncement of peace with God. Therefore, this is the dogma of the Apostle Paul. And he was a man who was of no little conviction. There is an absolute fact, concreteness about this. Therefore, and of course he bases it on justification. That brings us to the possibility of peace with God. If this is such a troubled world, and if man is so lost and is under the curse, how is it at all possible? And of course the answer is being justified by faith. Then there's the profession of peace, because he says here, we have peace with God. Now you try telling that to your neighbor, or try telling that to the worldling, and they will find that mighty strange. But that's the profession of the Christian. We have peace with God. And that, of course, is the possession of wonderful peace. So allow me just to follow that little plan, and I trust that we'll be over there eating lunch before you know it. And I pray that this word will be a word right down to your own heart. So we start with the pronouncement of peace with God. Therefore. Now it took four chapters in this book of Romans for the Apostle Paul, the theologian par excellence of the New Testament, to get to that therefore. He started in chapter 1 with the guilt of the Gentiles. Chapter 2, the guilt of the Jew. Chapter 3, the guilt of all men. We have all come short of the glory of God. And then chapter 4, two very big examples of men who found peace with God. Abraham and David, who were both justified by faith. And the apostle expounds in Romans chapter 4 that great promise that was given to Abraham, where he would be justified by faith when God said that he would make him the father of a mighty nation. And he believed, and God imputed it to him for righteousness. And then, if you go right down to the end of chapter 4, you will see verse 22, how Paul lays hold of that great fact in Abram's life. And it says here, and therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Then comes the pronouncement. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there is a therefore in every one of us. We need this peace with God due to our sin, due to our falling short of God's glory and holiness, and due to the fact that God is an unchangeable, holy God. We need to have this righteousness imputed to us. We need to be declared righteous by faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, without that, we're fooling ourselves. Any person who does not grasp or believe in and lay hold upon the wonderful grace of justification by faith alone, and you call yourself a Christian, you're just playing. You're playing church. You're playing up your own abilities. Because this great method of the gospel of justifying, declaring sinners to be right in the sight of a holy God, is the foundation upon we make any profession of faith. The trouble of human hearts is that men are without God by nature. And there's a vacuum that needs to be filled. Someone said that man's heart is a triangle, and only the triune God can fill that triangle. And maybe you feel in your own heart today that emptiness. You have a whole lot of religion. You have a whole lot of tradition. But you do not have Christ as your Savior. And the therefore does not apply to you. You cannot say that you have been justified by faith alone. And there needs to be this therefore in your life. That's where it begins. Justification has been called the standing or falling doctrine of the church and of the Christian. The church that doesn't preach justification by faith alone is not a Christian church. The individual who does not take his stand and lay hold upon the anchor of justification by faith alone is not a Christian. There must be this therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now that brings us to the possibility. How is this possible? Well, we are justified by faith. And it's possible to be declared righteous in the courtroom of God's law. It is, of course, an act of God's free grace. Guilty men are guilty. They have done the evil deed. They've committed the crime. And we all stand short of serving, honoring, living up to the standard of God. But justification is based on Christ stepping in and taking our place. The sentence of guilt, condemnation, falls upon him. And the judge in the courtroom pronounces the guilty one innocent because Christ took our place. And this is possible because Christ went all the way to the cross. And he died as a sacrifice for sin. If you go over to Romans 8, verse 32, you will see a little statement that really sums up what happened on that cross. He that spared not his own son. God caused all his wrath, all his holy indignation to fall upon his son during his hours upon that cross. God spared not. And because he spared not his son, he now spares us. Jesus drank the cup of wrath empty. There is none left for us. And due to that transaction of God's wrath falling upon his own son, where he spared him not, there is now a justifying of every sinner that looks to Jesus and believes on him as their Lord and their Savior. I read of a Scottish elder years ago in the Scottish church. One of his friends drew near to him at the time of his death. And he asked him, and he said, "Well, Jimmy, how long since is it that ye made your peace with God?" The aged elder said, "Well, Robin, to tell the truth, I never made my peace with God." And the young man said, "Well, what do you mean?" How long since you sought and found God? And again he said, Robin, I never sought and found God. And then the young man said, oh dear, his mind must be gone. But at that point, the aged elder awoke and stated very, very clearly, and he said, listen, not I never sought him. And then he burst into that stanza, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. And that is the basis of our justification. Not I, but what Christ accomplished on that cross in my place. And so it's possible that we, though guilty, though filled with shame, that we will be brought to peace with God through the justifying work of the Lord Jesus. It's also possible because that cross work was a work of reconciliation. Now you may have noticed in our Bible reading at Romans 5:11, we stopped at the word atonement. The word atonement is the English word for redemption. And it simply means in English to bring two parties, to make them to be at one. At one meant. That's reconciliation. Indeed, this is the only time in the New Testament, here in Romans 5:11, that word atonement appears in our English Bible. But it is frequently interpreted or translated reconciliation. And so we must understand that this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. This peace comes because of reconciliation. And Christ on the cross, he even displayed by his very posture that he was pleading there for sinners. And he was the intermediary, the mediator between God and men, so that God would be reconciled to sinners. And God did that through his Son by sparing him not and accepting his death, that you and I would be declared wonderfully righteous. Now, as we search through the Bible, and in particular the New Testament, we find that this reconciliation is repeated again and again. Will you turn to Colossians 1 and to verse 20? And I want you to notice the emphasis on the death of Christ, indeed on the blood. It says in Colossians 1, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. See how all those words come together? Peace, based on the blood, to reconcile. And there is the possibility of our peace with God. That's how it's done. It focuses on the blood. Now, are you looking to the blood of Jesus today? Is your faith in his cross work? Are you boasting in the cross? Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. That's the only thing the Christian boasts in. We don't boast in our denomination or our church or our tradition or our works or our ceremonies. We boast in the cross and the cross alone. And by looking to that cross, we find that we are reconciled and the peace of God becomes our portion. Now go back a little to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. And we see again this great emphasis upon reconciliation through our Lord Jesus. In verse 18, 2 Corinthians 5, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're about. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And if you're an unconverted person here today, this is the command of the gospel. Be ye reconciled to God. Come to the cross. Be washed in that blood. Cry out for that peace that comes through trust in the death of Jesus. And pray that you be declared justified, just as if you had never sinned. That is the possibility. And it's real. It's for you today. You can have peace with God on these terms. Now, one other thing by which peace is possible, because of that perfect righteousness that has been found for you. The perfect life of Christ. And that righteousness is transferred to you. My father was a sheep farmer. Well, he had various lines of farming, but one of them was sheep. And in the lambing season, which is usually March time, there would be sheep that would perhaps have one lamb and maybe it would be sickly and die. And you can think of the waste of a sheep kept almost a year for one lamb and then it's no lamb. But there might be another sheep that would have triplets. And of course, the way to care for the third lamb that may be left out hungry is to foster it and let it be adopted by the sheep that has no lamb. Now, you might think that would be easy. But those mother sheep, they smell their own lamb. And they're attracted to that lamb. And they will allow them to suckle and they will care for them. But if it's a strange lamb, they will just daunt it away. Won't have anything to do with it. Might even injure it if it's left in a small area. And so the trick of the farmer is to take the skin of the lamb that died, skin the dead lamb, and cover it over the third triplet lamb and stitch it on so that that skin stays for a number of days. Now the mother sheep that had lost her lamb, when she's introduced to this triplet lamb with the skin of her own lamb, smells her own and is attracted to it, accepts it, and allows it to suckle and cares for it. Then after a period of time, that skin can be removed and all is well. What a wonderful illustration of the Christian. We are rejected in our own skin. We are rejected as we are. But when we have the clothing of the righteousness of Christ, and that's how the Bible depicts it, the garments of his righteousness, clothed in his beauty, when God the Father sees that righteousness of his Son upon our lives, he accepts us. We are at peace with God. And God is at peace with us. And we are accepted into his fold. And that's the standing of a Christian. And on that basis, we can say we have peace with God. That brings me now to the possession of it. Note how it's worded. The Christian is not hunting for it. You're not aspiring to it. You're not seeking after it. You can say as a Christian, we have peace with God. And it is a blessing that we possess right now, this hour, as we look to God, right this moment. Because God is at peace with us. And the gospel has produced a change in God. Now, I'm going to be very careful with my words. We all take our stand upon the doctrine that God is immutable, the unchanging one. But you must understand that the death of Christ does not change just our minds. The death of Christ has an impact upon the very heart of God. Because by nature, by law, by justice, the holy God is filled with a fury indignation against sinners. But when the blood of Jesus was poured out on our behalf, and Christ interposed with his blood, that atonement had its impact upon God. And God's wrath is turned away. That's called propitiation. Turning away the wrath of God. And so the peace begins in the heart of God. It's objective, doesn't begin in us. Until God's wrath is turned away and God is inclined and turns to us in grace, there can be no peace in our hearts. But we enter into this peace, we possess this peace, because God's wrath is no more against us. We have his smile. And then the Spirit of God begins to minister peace in our hearts. We have the witness of the Spirit with our hearts that we are reconciled, that we are justified, and that God is no longer our enemy, but that he is at peace with us. And so we have Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is Christ that died. And these are the great statements of the gospel that we lay hold upon and we take to our hearts and we pray that the Spirit of God will make them real in our hearts. And we come to enjoy this peace. It's no longer just a theory. It's no longer an academic experiment. It is real. And it becomes the inner witness of our very hearts. Now back in Romans 5, you will notice that the Holy Spirit's ministry is mentioned here, that Romans 5, verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. What happens in a Christian soul when you are born of the Spirit? When that blood of Jesus is applied to your heart, the Holy Spirit comes in and he ministers peace. You are pronounced as the friend of God. Didn't that happen to Abraham? He was a stranger in the Ur of Chaldees, but he obeyed God. He came out and by faith he trusted God and he was called the friend of God. And so we have this reconciling, saving, peacemaking work within our hearts. And Christians are peace takers. We are not peacemakers when it comes to being right with God. We take the peace that is made. We take the good news that God is rich in mercy, that he accepts the blood, that he has poured upon his Son all that is required. And there is now no wrath for us. The peace of God is now our portion. That brings me to the last point, and that is the profession of peace with God. We're going to declare this. This is now the profession of our hearts. And how does the justified man or woman declare this to the world around him? He professes. What does he profess? Were we there at the cross? Did we go into heaven and see the change in God? No, what we profess is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the verse ends. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we confess Him, we enter into this peace. If we confess Him before the Father, Christ will confess us before Him. He professes, of course, the grace that is in Jesus. He is full of grace. He's everything that we need. If I have Jesus, I have all. And every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights is in Christ Jesus. Look at the end of, it's Romans 8:39. It says, neither height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And so if you are in, and that's the operative term, in union, if you are His by faith, then you have this right to profess faith in the Lord Jesus. And this is the gospel. When the apostles went preaching in the book of Acts, evangelizing, what did they preach? They preached peace with God through the Lord Jesus. He's our Savior. He's our Messiah. He's the Anointed One. He's everything to us. And that now becomes our profession. I trust that is yours today. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. He is our boast and our confidence. He is our reconciler. And He brings peace right into our hearts. Now, I want to encourage you today, because I know that there are many people right here in this congregation, and they enjoy this peace with God. This is a church and a congregation of people, for the most part, I know, that daily enjoy peace with God. They are not groveling. They're not like Martin Luther in the monastery, whipping themselves and afflicting themselves and going through fastings and prayers and finding no rest. No, the majority of people in this congregation have found the gospel to bring true, lasting, enduring, daily peace to their souls. Now, it can be a bit like the stock market. It can go up and it can down. There are times when you're troubled. But what do? You go back to the cross. You go back to the very foundation of our peace with God, the justifying work of the Lord Jesus. When we are doubting that peace, we plead the atoning blood. And we cry out to be washed from all sin. And so, if you do not have this peace today, I want you to know that it's possible, it's promised, but you must profess personally, profess your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He accomplished on the cross for you. And you will have this peace with God. It is not bragging for a Christian to say, I'm saved. I'm right with God. Paul said here, we have peace with God. Right now, right today. And He will pronounce you before the Father justified, just as if you had never sinned. Now, we have all sinned. And we all look back upon our days in living in sin and renounce it, repent of it. And the more we enjoy the cleansing power of Jesus' blood and the liberty that the gospel brings into our hearts, the more we renounce the sin that so beset us. And so I want you to have this peace with God. I would that every single man, woman, boy and girl here today enjoyed this tremendous peace. It's called the peace that passeth understanding. But it's real. And it's for you. And I invite you to trust and truly, personally rest in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And then you can read Romans 5:1 and write your own name on it. Just put your own name in there. Therefore, Ian, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Would you write your name in there? Would you enjoy that peace? Then profess faith. Call on the Lord Jesus as your Savior and your Redeemer.